Right now on VFN TV, we have the full speech from Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu at APEC. You don't want to miss it, as well as a video that shows exactly what the Palestinian people are teaching their young children about Israel, all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground. And, you know, we're going to, based on, you know, and I pray it doesn't happen. That's my desire.
I saw in a dream young people, I would say teenagers, maybe 20-year-olds, and they were crying. God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
And the kids that have to go to war don't want to go. They're not ready. They're not ready mentally, physically, let alone spiritually. They were crying as draft was being reinstated, and it was a time of great confusion.
The next 8 years in America will be worse than the last 8 years.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America's going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? You're about to see all that again. As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. And let me tell you something, the 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America, and it's like, that's where, when that statement was made.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel, always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do. We just go, well, you're kind of a hothead, we'll kill you or ignore you. And then 1,000 years later, we say, Isaiah was a great guy. He was just wonderful.
This year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. As a matter of fact, a phrase will be repeated over and over on the lips of people of many nations. You will hear it said, I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. And it will be known as the rural revival.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he's never needed a majority. This is what I keep telling people. We don't have to get 51% of Americans doing this before God can move. He has always worked through the remnant.
You know, God is not a donkey and he's not an elephant. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
You're going to start seeing more miracles outside the church than you see inside the
church. Today is a divine exchange, and my people will no longer align themselves and agree with the enemy.
A portal for angelic visitation would come in that could not be stopped in this nation.
As a matter of fact, he's rushing to you even now as you hear this.
We're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so You know, where are we? Where are you connected at? Where are you related? But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
I would say to you, this is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the Word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Phase 2 of the Third Great Awakening has begun.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited about today's program because we're going to be talking about Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech at AIPAC. Yes, it's always wonderful to hear the Prime Minister speak as he just defends Israel and really lays out what's happening in the Middle East with clarity. AIPAC just had their event in Washington, D.C. It's an annual event, and we're thankful for them and all the organizations really around the country and the world that stand behind and stand with and for the nation of Israel. AIPAC stands for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Now, before we get to the Prime Minister's speech, I wanted you to know and to see what AIPAC actually does and what they're about. Watch this.
This is Israel. The Jewish state is in a dangerous neighborhood and under constant threat from rockets, terrorists, and those seeking its destruction. Israel relies on its ally America in order to confront all challenges it faces. And the best way to guarantee that the United States continues to stand by Israel is through bipartisan support in Congress. That is where AIPAC comes in. AIPAC is focused exclusively on strengthening the U.S.-Israel relationship. Because Israel's security is too important to risk only working with one party or the other, we work with both parties to ensure Democrats and Republicans come together to keep Israel safe. AIPAC members nationwide, which include Americans of all ages, faiths, and races, build personal ties with senators and representatives to ensure that we are effective in strengthening America and Israel. We influence American policy not by rating or endorsing candidates, but by educating them. This ensures that no matter which party is in power, there is consensus that Israel's security is an American priority that both Democrats and Republicans support. You can make a difference. Talk to an AIPAC staff member or visit our website to learn more about how you can help keep Israel safe, strong, and secure.
Wow. We're also going to be talking about what Palestinians are actually teaching their children. You know, many of you have watched on your television screens, and especially if you've watched this program, VFN TV, you have seen where children are stabbing Israelis in Israel. Well, there's a reason behind the madness. It's because of what they're being taught. We're going to actually show you what's happening and taking place. But before we do, I want you to listen and see Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as he addresses the attendees at this year's AIPAC event. Watch this.
Mr. Prime Minister, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. I'm glad you can hear me, but I want to make sure that you can hear us, the delegates attending AIPAC's largest policy conference ever. As you might have heard, the theme of our conference is Come Together. And it's not just a tagline. The people in this room come from many different backgrounds and many walks of life. But there's one thing we all share, a profound love and unwavering commitment to the one and only Jewish state of Israel. Together, we are determined to ensure Israel has the means to defend herself by herself. We are determined to ensure that Iran is held accountable for its dangerous behavior. We are determined to stand with the people of Israel in their enduring quest for peace. And we will not rest in our efforts to strengthen the unbreakable bond between the United States and Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Prime Minister of the State of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu.
Good morning, America. Good morning, APAC. And a special good morning to the 4,000 students who are cutting class today to be with APAC in Washington. Greetings to all of you from Jerusalem. I want to first send my condolences to the families of those murdered in today's terrorist attacks in Brussels. The chain of attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, to Istanbul, to the Ivory Coast, and now to Brussels, and the daily attacks in Israel. This is one continuous assault on all of us. In all these cases, the terrorists have no resolvable grievances. It's not as if we could offer them Brussels or Istanbul or California or even the West Bank. That won't satisfy their grievances, because what they seek is our utter destruction and their total domination. Their basic demand is that we should simply disappear. Well, my friends, that's not going to happen. The only way to defeat these terrorists is to join together and fight them together. That's how we'll defeat terrorism, with political unity and with moral clarity. I think we have that in abundance. And I want to thank today the leadership of APAC and each and every one of you. I thank you for the tremendous support you've provided Israel over so many years. I thank you for the clear and unequivocal stand you took last year during the nuclear Iran deal debate, a debate critical for Israel's security. And that debate, though intense, did not undermine the unbreakable alliance between Israel and the United States. As part of that great alliance, America has generously provided Israel with many of the tools we need to defend ourselves. We're now working on a new agreement to help bolster Israel's security in the years to come. I hope we can conclude that agreement soon. And I take this opportunity once again to thank President Obama for his support, including for ballistic missile defense. Israel deeply appreciates it, and we also deeply appreciate the strong bipartisan support for Israel in Congress and the strong, overwhelming support for Israel among the American people. Year after year, the overwhelming majority of Americans stand with Israel. They know something profound. that stands out for all to see today. They know that Israel is an island of liberty and democracy and stability in the sea of despotism and violence and instability that surrounds us. And that is why I believe that Israel must never be an issue that divides Americans, but a great cause of liberty that unites Americans. My friends, 2 weeks ago, I visited Yodfat in northern Israel. It was there 2,000 years ago that the Romans began their military campaign against the Jews. I'm holding in my hand right now an exact replica of an arrow found at Yodfat, one of thousands used by the Romans in their war to crush Jewish independence. Yet 2 millennia later, the Jewish people are once again free and sovereign in our ancient homeland. And in rebuilding our land, our state, our economy, our army, our science, our culture, we've achieved remarkable successes. But it's true we also face great challenges. We are, in fact, today witnessing two contradictory trends. First, the positive trend. Every day, high-level delegations land at Ben-Gurion Airport. They come from America, they come from Europe. Increasingly, they come from Asia, from Africa, from Latin America. As many of them confront the rise of militant Islam and its accompanying terrorism, they come to Israel to strengthen their security. They wish to learn from Israel's proven security and intelligence capabilities how to better protect their own people. But they also come to Israel because they want to upgrade their economies with Israel's technology. And for good reason. Israel's know-how is powering the world's computers, navigating its cars, protecting its bank accounts. It's led to breakthroughs in treating multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's. It helps farmers around the world yield more crops, produce more work, more milk, conserve more water. So for all these reasons, the world is coming to Israel. Today we have diplomatic relations with 161 countries, more than at any time in our history. And by the way, there are not that many countries left. There are only about 200 countries in the world. But alongside this positive trend, there is a second negative trend. While Israel is embraced by a growing number of individual nations, there are those who seek to malign Israel among the nations, and especially in the United Nations. At the UN, Israel, the Middle East's only true democracy, is slandered like no other country on earth. At the UN, Israel is subjected to consistent, systematic discrimination. Only Israel is permanently scheduled for condemnation at the UN Human Rights Council. Not Iran, not Syria, not North Korea. Only Israel is hounded by UN bodies expressly established to delegitimize its very existence. Only Israel is condemned every year by 20 hostile resolutions in the UN General Assembly. The UN, my friends, has a shameful record of singling out Israel for castigation and condemnation. So I have a question for you. Why would anyone think that the UN could decide on a fair and secure peace for Israel? Yet amazingly, there are some who believe exactly that. They seek to impose terms on Israel in the UN Security Council. And those terms would undoubtedly be stacked against us. They always are. So such an effort in the UN would only convince the Palestinians that they can stab their way to a state. Mind you, not a state next to Israel, but a state instead of Israel. A Security Council resolution to pressure Israel would further harden Palestinian positions and thereby could actually kill the chances of peace for many, many years. And that is why I hope the United States will maintain its long-standing position to reject such a UN resolution.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to have the whole speech in its entirety. Join us. We'll be right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Today, the earth is being overrun by darkness and desolation, terrorism, hatred, divisiveness. Who or what is going to turn this tide? As Christians, we are charged with living a life of influence and power just as Jesus himself did. So what would the world look like if every church existed as a powerhouse that equipped its people to fundamentally change the world around them? That is the Apostolic Church Arising.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means straddle the jail, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish his purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church that you be a part of the Apostolic Church Arising.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size. A gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room. There's, you know, some interviews that we had, that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air, and we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says. When you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Thank you for joining us again. We're going to go straight back to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. He's addressing the delegates, the congregants, the people that are all gathered at this year's APACS event. You don't want to miss it. Join us right now.
To reject such a UN resolution. I was glad to hear the presidential candidates from both parties reaffirm this basic principle. Peace won't come through UN Security Council resolutions, but through direct negotiations between the parties. The best formula for achieving peace remains two states for two peoples, in which a demilitarized Palestinian state finally recognizes the Jewish state. Now, I know there's some skepticism about my views on this. So let me state unequivocally, and here's the acid test. I'm ready to begin such negotiations immediately, without preconditions, anytime, anywhere. That's a fact. But President Abbas is not ready to do so. That's also a fact. There is political will here in Jerusalem. There's no political will there in Ramallah. For the last 5.5 years, President Abbas has refused to sit down and talk with me even for a minute. But that doesn't mean he's been silent. He's helped inculcate a new generation of young Palestinians with murderous hatred for Israel. And my friends, this incitement has deadly consequences. Palestinian children are taught to stab Jews. They're taught that the goal of the Palestinian people is not to establish a state on the West Bank, but in all of Israel, in Akko, Haifa, Nazareth, Jaffa. Now, what I'm about to show you is deeply disturbing. I think you have to see for yourselves what the Palestinians are teaching their children. I want you to see the daily pledge of allegiance of Palestinian children. Take a look.
I am the Palestinian child. My toys are the rock and the rifle.
My friend, do you know what the 48 lands are?
Haifa, Jaffa, Acre.
Correct, and Nazareth, and many more cities in these lands. The 48 lands are all ours and will return to us, right?
The official Palestinian Authority schools, the media, and mosques preach to kill Israelis just because they're Jews. And children emulate the murderous videos online.
Take along a rock and knife.
This incitement comes directly from the Palestinian leadership.
We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem.
The result of this incitement is hundreds of terror attacks in the past few months. Dozens of Israelis were murdered in those terror attacks. About half of the terrorists are under the age of 18. This incitement fuels terror and prevents peace.
This is sick. It's inexcusable. My friends, that little girl wasn't born hating. She was taught to hate. As were the Palestinians who murdered the American student Taylor Force and other American citizens in recent months. You've already heard what an impressive young man Taylor was. But President Abbas's Fatah movement praised Taylor's killer as, and I quote this, as a hero and a martyr. Now, that's not coming from Hamas. That's coming from Abbas. And now the Palestinians will spur even more terrorism by rewarding the families of murderers, including those who murdered Americans, with a regular monthly payment. So the message they sent to Palestinians is clear. Terrorism pays, literally. If the international community really wants to advance peace, it must demand that the Palestinians stop poisoning the minds of their children. If the international community wants to advance peace, it must address the true core of the conflict, the persistent Palestinian refusal to accept a Jewish state in any borders. So there's bad news But there's also some good news. While the Palestinians are stuck in their refusal to make peace, others are moving forward. First, Israel's peace agreements with Egypt and Jordan have weathered many storms. Second, increasingly, our other neighbors recognize that we have common interests. They understand that we face the same threats from Iran and from ISIS. Now, I can tell you from a perspective of my lifetime, this is a historic change. I believe it offers a unique opportunity to advance peace. And we are working every day to seize that opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, I am confident that over time, the trend of embracing Israel will overcome the trend of maligning Israel. Because ultimately, freedom beats tyranny. And ultimately, when vigorously defended, truth beats lies. So I believe that Israel faces a future of promise. I believe that when we stand together, all of us, we can overcome all the challenges facing us. And of these challenges, none is greater than Iran's unrelenting aggression. Iran remains fully committed to genocide, our genocide. Its leaders loudly, openly, even proudly, they say and proclaim that their goal is to destroy Israel. Iran sends deadly weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon against us. It bankrolls Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza against us. It seeks to open a new terror front on the Golan against us. And it offers thousands of dollars for each Palestinian terror attack against us. So here's what I believe. I believe that both those who supported the nuclear deal and those who opposed it can at the very least work together to stop Iran's aggression and terror and hold Iran accountable for its transgressions. Since the nuclear deal, Iran has continued to conduct ballistic missile tests in defiance of its international obligations. As you've heard, Iran recently fired a ballistic missile with a Hebrew inscription painted on it. It said, "Israel must be wiped out." So, ladies and gentlemen, the writing is not on the wall. It's on the missile. Now, my friends, an arrow just like this was shot by a Roman soldier at Yotfat. He was fighting to end Jewish independence once and for all. But Imperial Rome is long gone. And I am speaking to you today from our capital, Jerusalem, as the Prime Minister of the reborn Jewish state. We have restored our independence. We have restored our capacity to defend ourselves. Iran should learn this history, and it should have no illusions. Israel will defend itself mightily against all those who seek to destroy us. And Iran should remember that today, it's not only the enemies of the Jewish people who have arrows. Today, the Jewish state can defend itself with powerful arrows of our own. Take a look. Spiral missile defense system is the product of Americans and Israelis working together. So I want to say again to all of you, thank you, America. Thank you, AIPAC. Thank you for helping secure our common future, and a happy Purim to all of you. Thank you.
Wow, wasn't that amazing?
That is powerful.
Amazing. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, it's just so refreshing to have courageous, clear leadership. And you never are ever wondering where exactly does he lie on any kind of particular issue. I like to say that he speaks English as well as Hebrew. Mm-hmm. You know, it is what it is, and he's plainly communicates it. But Steve, I thought it was interesting. He laid out two, I think, important things that are happening in Israel as they're always happening. One is that, you know, there's so much technology and so many ways that Israel is blessing the nations of the world. And like you said, that there are constant delegations flying into Ben Gurion Airport, and they're coming for specific reasons.
Yeah, and they're blessing technology. They're blessing, you know, agriculture, water, consumption. And what is so beautiful is that you're hearing so much confusion and so many contradictions all over the world, but there is such a bold, just clarion call of peace and just clarity to understand what is truly happening in that region. And it's encouraging because you see an accurate perspective about Israel. I love this.
Israel's blessing the nations of the world, like you said, technology, medicine,
agricultural,
business, all sorts, like I said, technology, IT, which is phenomenal because they're dispensing all of it to the world. They're saying, here, take it. It's yours. But at the same time, they're also facing, you know, the same threats over and over again from different countries. Iran in particular has the loudest voice saying they want to annihilate Israel. But also the sanctions that are continually coming out of the United Nations. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to show you in detail what the United Nations has been doing to Israel year after year after year. And if anyone thinks that the United Nations is a fair broker of any agreement between Israel and the Palestinian people, they're missing it. There is no fairness at all. But you're going to be able to see for your own self what has been taking place. But before we go to this break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. You don't want to miss it. Your words count, and your destiny matters to God. Watch this. For any amount you can partner, check it out.
I'm very excited about today's offer. It's offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. We serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Then they become. He has created us, mankind, in His image and in His likeness. When God speaks over our lives, we can hold on to those words and speak them out, holding on knowing that they'll come to pass just as God said they would. It's easy to speak and agree with what we can see, but when it comes to what we can't see, that is where faith kicks in. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Though we're not perfect, God's word is perfect, and we can trust and have faith in His word no matter our struggles on the journey of life. We saw struggles that took place in Abraham's life, but it didn't change the fact that he is the father of faith. You'll be challenged as we remember God does miracles amongst us, not because we obey some law or are perfect, but because we believe His word. Today's offer is offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny. That's offer 2003. For any gift whatsoever, just go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now and follow the prompt. Or you can write to VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can call 844-408-3688. That's offer 2003. That's offer 2003, Speaking and Believing Yourself into Your Destiny.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
He is the Word of God. He is the messenger. He is the humble King. He is the bread of life. He was rejected and abandoned and mocked and beaten. He was bruised and pierced. He was crucified and buried, and the nails couldn't hold him, and the cross couldn't finish him. Those stones could not keep him. Death could not defeat him. Our ransom, our redeemer, our deliverer, our savior. He is mighty, he is glorious, he is holy, he is exalted, he is risen.
How does a lawsuit against a city seal come before the court? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I know the ACLU is out to rename half the cities in the country, but how do these cases ever get into federal court?
Here's what happens. A citizen in the community generally objects, and they'll object to the symbol there, the crosses for La Cruces, New Mexico. And then there's been challenges against Corpus Christi, and that's the body of Christ. So that they bring them in federal court, they get citizens in the area to say, quote, they're offended, and unfortunately, oftentimes the court will say, well, offense, looking at something is enough to bring a literal constitutional challenge, and that's how this happens.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did such an amazing job because, you know, these issues oftentimes are complex, but he has a way of just making them plain. And that's really what you need because there's so many lies. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking a lot on this program about the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions that are being launched against Israel because the narrative is that Israel won't make a Palestinian agreement. They won't make an agreement with the Palestinians for a two-state solution, which can't be further from the truth, which we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. But what I really want to highlight is the fact that the United Nations repeatedly, mm-hmm. over and over and over again, Steve, are hitting Israel with all of these sanctions. The Human Rights Council of all, you know, people.
More than any other nation.
More than any other nation.
That's right.
Not North Korea, not China.
Not Iran.
Not Iran, but Israel. And if you lose sight of this, remember that it was our president when he was in Israel and he spoke at the university to the students. He was telling them, hey, you need to take this to the United Nations. Well, if you take this, any agreement to the United Nations that involves Israel, you're literally saying, take Israel and throw it over into the sea because the United Nations is not capable of brokering anything fair in regards to Israel just by their actions alone. And so we want you to see this as this really breaks this down with fine detail of what's actually been transpiring over several years. Watch this.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy. The only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN. But today, this movement has a new tool for attacking Israel as the cause of all our problems. The UN's Durban Review Conference on Racism. Durban is charged with finding the real root of racism.
So it's clear. It's clear. Resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel. And here's the thing. Those who are calling for peace in the Middle East, those who are calling, those in the international community are calling for Israel and the first two-state solution, basically, need to understand exactly what is happening and not fall to this false narrative. And really call the Palestinians on the carpet. When the prime minister plainly says that I will speak with President Abbas at any time about this Tuesday solution, and the president refuses to do so, but at the same time continues to you know, fuel incitement and hatred towards the Israelis, come on, really? I mean, one of the basic tenets of any agreement would be that the Palestinian people would recognize Israel as a Jewish state, and they won't even do that. So how could Israel, I mean, it's amazing the patience they have. I mean, it really is the patience that they have to continue to state the facts over and over again and repeatedly. But I think it's time that the international community really wakes up, because this is only a matter of time before this continues to fester. And really, we're drawn in a global war. I mean, we are already, I believe, in the middle of World War III, and it's only going to escalate until we actually come in and say, hey, listen, you know, enough is enough. But I want you to see, you saw this in the Prime Minister's speech, but I want you to see again the foundation that's being laid by the Palestinian Authority. It's not about, hey, let's broker peace. It's not let's get along with our neighbors. It's not maybe we can be nice to the Jewish people and we can work together. Maybe we'll have a land for our own. No, they're teaching their children that Israel, the land of Israel, is their land. They're teaching the children that Israel is their enemies. They're teaching their children that the way to deal with Israelis is not communication. It's not, you know, open dialogue. But the form of communication that they're teaching is rocks and knives. And guess what? the young people are carrying it out. They said over 50% of terrorist attacks, or these intifada attacks, are being conducted by Palestinians age 18 and younger. 50%. I want you to see plainly what they're doing. Watch this.
I am the Palestinian child. My toys are the rock and the rifle.
My friend, do you know what the 48 lands are?
Haifa, Jaffa, Acre.
Correct. And Nazareth and many more cities in these lands. The 48 lands are all ours and will return to us, right?
The official Palestinian Authority schools, the media, and mosques preach to kill Israelis just because they're Jews. And children emulate the murderous videos online.
Take along a rock and knife.
This incitement comes directly from the Palestinian leadership.
We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem.
The result of this incitement is hundreds of terror attacks in the past few months. Dozens of Israelis were murdered in those terror attacks. About half of the terrorists are under the age of 18. This incitement fuels terror and prevents peace.
Wow. Think about it. Intifada, an uprising. They're taking down Jewish people with their cars. They're taking them down with knives and with rifles. But if that wasn't bad enough, you have Iran, who is committed openly, defiantly saying that they want to destroy Israel. And I'm thankful that the United States is working together, Steve, with Israel on this new agreement and for the new Arrow rocket missile defense system. They come. I want you to see the awesomeness of this rocket and what it does. I mean, it literally tracks down the missile that's being fired.
Right. And then destroys it in air so it doesn't impact Israel.
Destroys it. Watch this.
Israel conducted its first nighttime trial of the Chets, or Arrow missile defense system, Sunday night. It was a resounding success. The Arrow was launched from the Palmachim military base on the Mediterranean coast, south of Tel Aviv, and intercepted a target missile fired at a high altitude from an F-15 fighter jet. The target missile was designed to simulate an Iranian Shihab-3 surface-to-surface ballistic missile, which has a range of over 1,200 kilometers, enough to hit any target in Israel. The Chets' advanced radar system locked onto the incoming enemy missile and guided the intercepting missile to close proximity, where it then detonated, destroying the target in mid-air. Member of Knesset Yuval Steinitz commented on the successful trial run.
It was a very successful test. I was there as a former chairman of the Defense and Foreign Affairs Committee. It was an exceedingly successful test against new kind of threats. And for the first time, I became confident that the Arrow system will be able to intercept any kind of Shihab or other Iranian missile coming from far away.
The Israeli security establishment has high hopes that the Chet system will be able to provide an adequate response to the recurring threats of an Iranian missile attack on Israel.
Wow. Amazing. I'm glad that Israel has everything that they need and then some. That's why it's so important that we continue as partners with them to fund them and give them all the resources and the funds to defend themselves.
Now, even as we're saying this, reminds me of Genesis 12. It says, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And it makes me think about that Roman era that he lifted up, that just because that there's a nation that is seeking to destroy Israel, God is still going to protect Israel.
Wow. Well, the Word of God says that indeed he who watches over Israel neither slumbers or sleeps. We want to pray with you, and we encourage you, please pray for us. Steve, would you lead us in prayer for Israel?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, just for the bold truth and how you have established the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over Israel. Lord, we ask you, Father, that you would just give wisdom and clarity to all of those that are standing in allegiance with Israel. Lord, I come against every single rocket that is fired against Israel. I come against every single person that seeks to do evil or just harm to any Israeli citizen. And we just thank you, Lord, that your eyes never sleep nor slumber, and you overwatch all of Israel and all of the Jewish land. Father, bless Israel and bless those who are blessing Israel. And we ask you, Lord, that you would end abortion, send revival, and send a third great awakening, Lord.
God bless you. Thank you so much for watching VFN. Have a great night. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior, but he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not, we're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Ooh. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door. And they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought, Jesus has lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important. Of all the things he said, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside. You know? And yo, sir. No, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen. Let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is, you have no control over them. You tell them the truth and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So, you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.